Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
I have a feeling it's going to be beautiful. Everything's going to be
your right. Welcome to the Tawonga Institute's continuing training for summer camp professionals about preparing for a safe and successful summer camp season, sponsored by the Foundation for Jewish Camp, where Jewish summers make a Jewish future. I'm Steve Gershick, and in studio today is Ken Kramars, longtime executive director of Camp Tawonga, based in San Francisco and operating in Yosemite National Park, along with Robin Parvin, emergency preparedness liaison for the Sausalito Sustainability Commission right here in the Bay Area. Welcome, Robin.
Thank you, Steve. Great to be with you again. We'd like to remind everyone that this series is meant to get you started in incident preparedness and is not a substitute for complete training in the incident command system, legal advice, or other professional guidance. Ken, tell us about preparing your staff and board for incident preparedness.
You know, I'd start, Robin, with the idea of creating a culture of preparedness at the organization, that safety is everybody's business. You know, sometimes people get the impression that if you appoint a designated safety officer, like many state ordinances require, that you're kind of done with that item and you kind of check that off the list. And it's not that way at all. The thing that makes your camp safe is the reality that everybody's thinking about safety and everybody's aware.
Is there a way that you articulate this at Tawonga?
Well, at Tawonga, we have a canon of ethics that every single staff member memorizes. And the very first thing we say is, I am always aware.
And what's next in this culture of preparedness?
Well, we want to build on this situational awareness idea that people are aware of their environment, the physical environment, the emotional environment, any hazards that they may notice, and that you build a system at camp in which when people do notice something that needs attention, whether it's a physical plant issue or a personnel issue or a security issue, that there's a way that they can alert people and they know that it gets taken care of.
How do they do that?
At Tawonga, we like to say, see something, say something, do something. So in our case, the do something, if it's a physical plant issue, we use a system we call blue slips. And these are forms that allow people to indicate where they see a potential hazard or risk and put it directly in the inbox of the camp caretaker. Those are reviewed daily by the camp directors, and they can know that if something is brought to their attention, it's going to get taken care of. And it's a great system because if you don't channel people's observations through something like we call the blue slip system, you might have people like getting on the caretaker all day long. Hey, Jack, did you hear about this thing? Or, hey, I noticed that over there. And this is a way to both organize people's observations and make sure that they get done.
Ken, is there a high-level thought on preparing your staff and board for the culture of preparedness?
I think it would be the idea of situational leadership. And that means that in any moment, in any particular incident that arises, you want to make sure that the people who are responding to it are the ones who are most appropriate to that particular challenge. Not necessarily the most senior person, not necessarily the person that is on the org chart in a certain position. I'll give you an example. Just a couple of years ago, we had the Rim Forest Fire, which we talked about earlier, was the largest fire, most devastating fire in Yosemite history. And at that time, I was the executive director of Camp Tawonga, but I was not the designated commander for that. Jamie Simon, who at the time was the camp director, she was designated as the incident commander. I served as her operations section chief. Why do we make those decisions? She was in the right relationship with the online staff who needed to be supervised through the incident, and I was the right person to organize a response to a fire.
Now, we talk about incidents. The title of this podcast is really about preparing your staff and board for an incident. What's the definition of an incident?
An incident is any significant threat to life, property, reputation, or legal status.
Let's talk about the actual trainings you need to run to prepare your staff and board.
Sure, we're going to break it down into the senior staff, what they have to do before camp, your board, what they have to do before camp, what the senior staff does on site, and then what the full staff does on site. So starting with the pre-camp senior staff. You want to gather the people who are most likely going to be designated as commanders or section chiefs to the office for what we call tabletop exercises. The tabletop exercise is when you present a scenario and it has to be solved in real time using the exact same procedures and protocols that they would do in an actual incident.
What does it feel like if you're doing a training drill?
It should feel like you're really in the incident. In other words, time is being kept, the pressure is on, you know you have to deliver. So it doesn't feel like, maybe if I was in that situation. No. You are the commander. You're deciding right now.
Okay. So you're doing this before camp. And then after you've done this before camp, what happens?
Part of that training, when we're sitting around the table before camp starts, is a review of past incidents. With every incident that occurs at camp, we conduct an after-action review. And that's where we ask a simple question, what worked and what didn't? This is how we learn from our experiences. So part of your senior staff pre-camp training is to look at recent incidents and talk about what worked and what didn't so that you're in a state of continuous improvement.
Ken, what else do you have to do before you go up to camp?
Okay, you have to train your board of directors. They need to know what might be expected of them in an incident. They might be asked to come to the office. They might be part of a phone tree or home visit. They certainly have to know that during an incident, no one says anything or posts anything on social media. They have to know that they're actually taking their cues from the incident commander. It's a really interesting kind of a role reversal. Normally, of course, the board of directors is supervising the camp director or the executive director, except in an incident. During an incident, the designated commander is in command of everyone, including the board of directors.
Including the leadership of the board, too.
Including the president.
Would you put the board together and run a drill?
Yeah. You definitely want to drill them and make sure they understand and feel comfortable with what's going to be expected of them. Now, one of the things that we provide to the board in advance is what we call the shul script. The shul script is, even with the best system of controlling information, you might go some public place like synagogue. You sit down and the person next to you said, hey, Joey, you're on the board of directors. What's going on up there? And you need to have provided them with a short script. We mean like 25 words or less to explain exactly what's going on there, but no more.
Okay, you've done this. Your board is ready. Your senior staff are ready. Now you're going up to camp. What's the next part of the training?
Senior staff are going to go through a 2-hour incident drill. This is like complete with, you know, your sort of fake injuries or whatever the incident is. They won't know in advance. They will know exactly when it's going to happen. They don't know what's going to happen. And they have to actually solve the incident challenges. They have to acquire their outcomes. And then they'll do an after-action review and a debrief.
Okay, this is great. So then they get to see what they did right and what they could do better for the next part of the training. And what is that next part of the training?
Next part of the training is to assemble the full staff. Every single person at camp, maintenance, kitchen, operations staff, specialists, counselors, supervisors, every single person needs to understand what it feels like to be in an incident, because it is different. There's a shift. When you go into incident mode, suddenly the sort of kind of warm and fuzzy summer camp is now a centralized command and control system. Things are moving fast. Sometimes people's feelings get hurt. We'll take care of that later. So in fact, we like the camp leadership to sort of ask forgiveness in advance for what it's going to feel like during incident.
What are they going to learn at the full staff training?
Number one, they're going to learn what is the central roundup place or evacuation site or file drill location that has to be known.
How is that chosen?
Good question. Prior to camp, you will have wanted to meet with either the fire marshal or the police or the sheriff. And we talked about this in our first podcast, that pre-camp meeting. And they're going to help you choose what is the defensible space that you can assemble your kids in. And it's usually going to be a place that's going to be safe from fire, that you can feed and house and care for, sheltering in place.
What else does the full staff need to know?
They certainly need to know what your public signals are. For example, what does the fire drill sound like? What does the all clear sound like? If you have a PA system or like a loudmouth system like we use, they need to know how that gets deployed and what that sounds like. And finally, you need to prepare them for the idea that they're not going to get all the information they want right away, because the commander has to decide what they need to know at every given moment. staff have to be told in advance, you may feel like, what's going on? You need to trust the system. We'll let you know as soon as you need to know.
What are the action plans now? Break it down. What do we need to do now before camp starts?
What you need to do is first calendar those four training sessions that we just listed. You're going to ohm out each one.
And of course, you can listen to podcast one to learn how to ohm out each training and what the particular techniques are for determining your outcomes and methods.
Third thing is you're going to test your signal systems now. You want to make sure your sirens are all clear, your public address systems are all working. And finally, in advance, you're going to decide who will be the first and second choices for incident commander. Because when an incident arises, one of the first things that you're going to ask is, who's in charge? And by listing these names in advance, in priority order, you know that when an incident arises and everybody comes to the incident command post, all they have to do is look around and see whose name is top of the list, and that's who immediately takes over.
Listen to podcast 3 for more information about setting up your incident command post, and podcast 4 for the key roles in incident command system.
Well, thank you, Ken and Robin, and thanks again to our sponsors, the Foundation for Jewish Camp.
Thanks, Steve and Ken, and to everyone who is following.
And I want to thank you, Steve and Robin, and all of our awesome camp directors. And remember, everything is going to be all right.
Everything's going to be all right.